Hi, and welcome back to Christians Are Destined to Reign. I'm so glad to have everybody back. I hope you're ready, because I'm ready. So let's get started. We're going to talk, this is our power verse. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And today I will be taught the uncorruptible word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. And salvation, okay? Now, with salvation, you've got to acknowledge in your heart that he is Lord. You've got to confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe that he died for your sins and was raised 3 days later. Repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 and 9. Then Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3 and 3. Now, today, I am feeling a real sadness, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I was having a hard time. I was tossing. I was turning, and, you know, everybody's been going through so much, and, you know, we just had the election, and I think the election in itself took a lot out of everybody, Christians, you know, non-believers, everybody, because it really kind of shows that even though we are in the 21st century, we have gone so backwards. We have gone so backwards. We so much hate, so much dislike, so much lying, so much cheating. So, I mean, it was horrible. It really, I mean, they kept comparing us to third world countries. It really shows the worst of us. And I think it's all kind of have our spirits saddened, because mine is saddened. So I think that we need to bring a little joy. We need to go back like I used to do in the old days. We need to pray more. We need to thank God more. Because we get so busy going on about our day. We don't stop to thank the person who made the day possible, the person who woke you up this morning and started you on your way. We don't thank him anymore. We just assume automatically, yeah, we're going to get up, and then we're going to get in our cars, and everything's going to be fine. But it's not. It's not. And we have to go back to the old ways. Okay? Psalm 50 says, joy comes in the morning. Do you know why David had Psalm 50? He was thanking God. David had a lot of money, and he wasn't selfish with his money. He was building God a temple to thank him. Okay? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what David said after announcing his plan to thank God for restoring him to health when sickness was about to take him to the grave. Okay? He then gives a detailed account of what occurred. You know, he was confident, he was robust, he was in good health. Then he was suddenly stricken with some disease. Now, disease, you know, don't always have to be cancer or AIDS or whatever. A disease is whatever is poisoning you. Some people's marriages is a disease, and you need to try to get it fixed up. Some people's children are a disease, okay? Some people's finances are a disease. So how are we going to get well? How are we going to get it healed? We're going to go back to the old way of thanking God. Okay? We have got to go back. Because it says here, but he cried to the Lord for help, and his prayer was heard. Okay? And now we have Psalms 27, it says, trust in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies, themselves stumble and fall. Okay? When they come at you, if you've been communing and staying and pursuing and seeking God, they're going to fall and stumble when they come at you. Though an army encamps against me, my heart will not fear. Though war was waged upon me, even then will I trust. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. For he will hide me in his abode in the day of trouble. He will conceal me in the shelter of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Even now my head is held high above my enemies on every side, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of gladness. I will sing and chant and praise the Lord. And we have got to get back. I can't say it enough. We have got to get back to the old ways, to old school. You know, new school, hey, it's cool. All our modern conveniences, you know, the knowledge, it's all great. But we got to go back to the old school when it comes to God, because he said he ain't moving. He don't care how, you know, he said he is not moving. Okay? So we got to slow down a little bit and go back. Sorry, God, you know, I'm back here to praise you. I'm back here to thank you. There's a story about the 10 guys that had leprosy. And God came and he healed them. But only one went back to thank him. You know, leprosy was terrible. You know, you couldn't go out around other people. They had a leprosy camp. And all the lepers was right there together. So they can just give leprosy to each other. Because you couldn't come outside the camp to make the healed people, to make the well people sick. So God came through, and it was 10 of them, and he healed them. And only one came back and said, thank you, Lord. And that's how we become it. That's how we are so selfish, and we have got to get over it. We have got to get over it. We have got to pursue God. You know, like when you are courting somebody, and, you know, you'd be so serious. Well, you'd be serious about that relationship. You know, you're dating and you're calling and you're writing notes and, you know, you pretend that you're paying attention to whatever it is they're talking about. You're just hanging on to every word. You know, you're buying flowers, you're buying candy, you're buying books and dinner, whatever gift. And you spend a lot of time and effort pursuing whoever it is that you're after. But God said he wants us to pursue him just a little bit. Way back in the 10th century B.C., Solomon recommended that kind of serious commitment for pursuing something else. Okay? Solomon said you got to pursue wisdom. A dictionary definition of wisdom: understanding what is true, right, and lasting. Okay? That sounds crucial if we want a life that glorifies our holy God. Maybe that's why Simon used to use so many verbs in Proverbs. Okay, he describes it to describe our needed efforts to gain wisdom. He said, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out, lift your voice, seek her, search for her. Seeking wisdom takes effort. And scriptures tell us where it can be found. But the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He isn't storing up wisdom for himself. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Seek God with all your heart. He is the source of all wisdom for your life. What will it profit when life is over? Though great worldly wisdom I gain, if seeking knowledge I utterly fail, the wisdom of God to obtain. Okay? You can't acquire much knowledge, but true wisdom comes from God. Remember that? Okay, God just seems to be getting so lost. Okay, and everybody's like, I know, Lord. I'll catch you later. Okay, I'll see you at noontime. Okay, no, I'll see you this evening. Okay, God, you know what? I'll see you tonight when I get ready. And then the next thing you know, you sleep and you ain't spent no time with him all day that you've been promising. How would you like for his promises to be empty like the promises we make to him? Okay? And we're talking about facing the future. The future is very grim. Okay? So it's the one person that we know that can straighten up our future is God. We have got to spend more time thanking, okay, him and praising him. I was going through some old files. I don't know if I told you or not, but I'm a hoarder. I really am. I'm a hoarder of information. You know, books and magazines. And I mean, my kids always tell me, Mom, you know, you can get that stuff off the Internet. I know, but is there something about me having the information for myself? You know, I've books and magazines and articles and you name it. I saved it. But God takes me through. I don't have it anymore. It all got destroyed. Okay, so hoarding and getting, I tell you right now, you can't take it with you. And if God's trying to get your attention, he will take it from you. Okay? But I found this article, and it's called Beyond the Year 2000 and What to Expect in the New Millennium. And it was fascinating to read the predictions that was made two decades ago about what the future would hold. Some general observations were made on target. You know, some of the stuff they said was, you know, it was pretty right. But no one foresaw many of the events and innovations that had radically changed our lives. The most telling statement to me was the first rule of forecasting should be that the unforeseen keeps making the future unforeseeable. Okay? The first rule of forecasting should be that the unforeseen keeps making the future unforeseeable. James reminds me that the view of the future that omits God is foolish and proud. You know, and we have to, I'm telling you again, God is not in the place where he used to be. You know, front and center. Everything used to evolve around him. Now we're taking shortcuts and jumping over his head and going around the side. We're doing everything but going to the source. And it has caught up with us, okay? James reminds us that any view of the future that omits God is foolish and proud. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. James 4:13-15. If the Lord wills. When I was a child, that was all we heard. Everybody said, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. My dad was funny. He used to say, If the creek don't rise, okay? But whatever it is, you got to realize that it's always something that's unforeseeable that can happen. So you have got to praise and thank the one that it's got to fall in his hand. My grandma was old, so she said, if the Lord tarries, Okay, but everybody knew that they had to say that, but not anymore. Now, the old school is gone, and new school, they forgot all about him. But it's time to bring him back. Okay. The phrase may be old school, but the acknowledgement of God's overruling hand is not. And remember that. It's God's overruling hand. As we look ahead with God firmly in view, we can face the future with confidence in his loving plan. God holds the future in his hand with grace significant day by day. Through good or ill, he gently leads if he would but let him have his way. And we have got to start letting him have his way. Those who know Christ as Savior can face the future with joy. And that's all I want to give you today. I'm trying to tell you. If we would slow down, if we would go back, okay, and remember God, you know, we can't jump up in the morning and not thank God. We can't, you know, sometimes throughout the day, when you look around and say, ooh, I made it. I thought I was going to be late this morning, but I wasn't. My car almost ran out of gas, but I made it to the gas station. Ooh, it was a horrible accident. You know, I pray that everybody was all right, but I thank God that I wasn't involved. We have got to learn to do that. Okay, we've got to. And then we'll start feeling better. We won't have this sadness, because the sadness, believe it or not, is God, the God in us feeling so sad that he's saying, I'm right here, I'm right here, I want to help. And we're in such a mess. We're in so much trouble. Everything is going wrong, and we don't have enough sense to stop and say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You better learn to get in them prayers, and you better learn to thank God. Okay, because we are living in those times. And that brings us right back to faith. And we're going to try to finish this up about faith. We've got to have it. We have got to have the faith. When tests and trials are staring you in your face, then you need to fix your gaze on God's word. And stay with the Apostle Paul. Our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. Now, more than ever, God needs us to be people who walk and talk and live like that. He needs us to be people of faith. Because as glorious as the final days will be, there will be days of great affliction, there will be days of war, and will require us to fight the good fight of faith with more strength and courage than ever before. Okay? And now we're going to say, take the runway. You know, I like stories. You just know something's bad going. You know, what else can go wrong? And then one more thing else goes wrong. But then, God shows up. Okay? I love stories like that. You know, they do not always have a happy ending for everybody. God always shows his face. And this is a story about the war. I love war stories, baseball stories. They seem to be the ones that have the most encouragement in them. When I think of the kind of spiritual guts we'll need in the days ahead, I think of a story I once read about a young man who was in a pilot training program during World War II. He was a bomber pilot training on the Martin Marauder. an airplane which in those days was considered hard to fly. There was a wing on it, okay, that they didn't quite understand like they do now. And if the pilot let the airplane get ahead of him, it would roll over on its back and crash. One day, this young pilot was sitting in this airplane with his instructor at the end of the runway, preparing to take a training flight. His roommate, who was training in the same kind of airplane, was coming in for his final approach at the same runway. About a quarter mile from the end of the runway, right in front of the young pilot's eyes, his roommate flipped that airplane upside down, hit the ground, and exploded in a ball of flame. Hey, can you imagine your friend, you know, right in front of you, his airplane crashes, and then you still have to take off, okay? Stunned, the young man simply sat there and stared in silence. Then he heard the firm voice of his instructor. "Don't just sit there," he said. "Take the runway." The young pilot was astonished. "Surely we're not going to go ahead and train today," he said. "My buddy just got killed in that plane right there in front of me, right in my face." "Take the runway," the instructor ordered. "We are in the middle of a war. We have no time to regret. Take the runway." I know as well as anyone that living by faith isn't easy. There are times when the devil blindsides you and hurts you so bad, your flesh just wants to lie down and cry. There are times when you want Jesus to appear to you and give you some tangible fleshy manifestation to help you get through. But crying won't get the war won. Neither will fleshy manifestations. Walking by faith is what will win the war, because faith is our link to the anointing of God. Faith releases within us and through us the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. I like that. I always want to say it. Yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you neglect the word, it won't matter how many miracles you see or how many goosebumps you feel. The devil will eventually slap you down with sickness, financial lack, or some other kind of defeat. But if you'll keep your spirit activated and strong through the word of God, when the devil takes a punch at you, you can just get right up. Okay, you can just get right up and start speaking the word, pounding him with it until he runs to cover. "By Jesus' stripes, I was healed." Bam! Sock him one time. "No weapon formed against me will prosper." Bam! Hit him again. "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." Bam! Knock him again. Of course, Satan won't stay around very long when you start resisting him like that. He'll flee. But when he does, you can chase after him and keep hitting him with the word. And there'll be no place for him to hide. I can tell you from the personal experience what will happen when you do that, when you just keep hammering the devil with faith and refuse to let him up. An anointing will come over you. You know, y'all don't like to hear all the stories. You don't want to hear the bad stuff. You don't want, okay? But the anointing will come over you. And I call that bulldog anointing. You know, we had a pit bull. And my daughter got an English bulldog. And them bulldogs are something else. I'm telling you, they are something else. That's why I have to call it the bulldog anointing. Okay? Your insides will get bigger than your outside. And instead of whimpering in the corner, you'll begin to roar like the lion of Judah, like the lion from the tribe of Judah. there's the way believers ought to be. Okay? Now, that's how believers ought to be. We should just skip from place to place. We shouldn't just skip from place to place looking for a miracle. We ought to be a miracle, going somewhere to happen at all times. We ought to walk around so full of the word and faith that all hell quivers every morning when we wake up. Okay, we should be the one making the devil's quiver instead of them having us, oh, I don't know what to do, oh, mercy me, oh, Lord. We are the bold ones, okay? We are the Christians destined to reign. But to be that way, we must keep our spirits activated. We must continue to walk by faith and not by sight. So commit yourself to do that from this day on. Make a quality decision that no matter how many great signs and wonders you see, no matter what outstanding manifestation you may enjoy, you won't let your spirit doze off by simply believing what you see. Determine to keep feeding the word. Keep feeding on the word. To keep activating your spirit by believing and speaking and acting on it. Then, and only then, will you be truly blessed. See, that didn't hurt that much, did it? It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. You know, sometimes I have to, you know, have to get to the hard part, but once the hard part is over, oh, okay, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, right? Okay, now, we still got to talk about our health. So I'm going to finish this up so that the next time we have something else to talk about. Because it's so long, nothing missing and nothing broken. God said that he wants us healthy, he wants us happy, he wants us prosperous, all of that, okay? But we got to start by getting our finances in order. We got to start by being healthy, okay? So we're going to finish up talking about this. We talked about how do I eat more fish, because fish is healthy, okay? We talked about how do I am I getting enough protein? Some type of how to get more protein. Then we talked about what are the good whole grain choices. Okay, because everything isn't what it seems. So you got to learn how to read the packages. Okay, you got to learn to how to eat, how much. Serving sizes are so important because serving sizes are not the same as they used to be. When I was a little girl, that's a long time ago, okay, but I'll never forget it. When I was in the fifth grade and I was in the band, and whenever we would have practice, when we had, you know, we'd go into, you know, different tournaments and stuff, we'd have to, you know, practice, and we'd practice at our lunchtime. So my mom would let me buy my lunch in this little Nippy burger that was right on the next corner from the school. And we get a little Nippy burgers, and, you know, we run on back to school and eat. But I remember my lunch was 50 cents. It was two burgers, a little pack of fries, and an 8-ounce drink for 50 cents. It filled me up. Okay, and now we have to have these great big old double burgers, a super scoop of fries, and a whatever fast drink. So we have got to stop and train our stomach to get back to the regular portion size. Okay? So how do I eat more low-fat cheese? Replace some or all of the meat on your sandwich, okay, or your salad with a low-fat cheese. If you make a sandwich, feel free to pile your fresh vegetables up high. Veggies are great for your health and are very low in calories. What are some meat alternatives? The word theatin may sound funny, but it's a great vegetarian product. It replaces meat in just about any recipe, such as stews, chilies, and other dishes. Theatin is made from wheat protein. It looks like meat and has a meat-like texture. Most health food stores sell it. You may also find it sold as mock meat crumbles in the freezer section. Okay, at your local supermarket. Tofu is another protein. As another protein product you can use in place of meat. Everybody doesn't like tofu, okay? But come on, people, let's get up off the couch, get to the computer and whatever, and read about what other substitutes that they have, okay? You don't just have to do this tofu thing. But it is a good product. It can be prepared in many ways. You can pan brown it. You can cube it into soup. You can bake cutlets in a sauce or stir-fry tofu pieces. What about being a vegetarian? Now, if you're a vegetarian, you're going to have to really make sure that you have a lot of protein because your brain needs protein, okay? Your brain. If you want to become a vegetarian and cut some or all meat products from your diet, do so with the help of a registered physician. Animal products provide your body with many important proteins, such as vitamin B12 and iron, and are impossible or difficult to get from plant foods alone. Okay, so with that, I'm running out of time. We're going to let it go with that. But we finish this one up. We're going to trust in God. We're going to have some faith. We're going to turn the clock back around, and we're going to start consulting with God on our like they used to do in the old days. Okay, and with that, we want to thank Raven International for calling our station. And remember, your dad is in the blessing business. Stay blessed.